Oh, glory to God. You know, we have been, God is bringing us to this other realm. I mean, it's just wonderful what's happening. And we talked about third dimensional warriors and, you know, and what's happening. And then the heart of a king. You know, God really wants to raise up a generation of kings. In fact, a generation of kings will be raised up. It'll be called the ministry of kings before his return. Does everybody understand that? Some of the things that we're talking about, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 so that we get a little impartation before we even get started here. Glory to God. You know, them too. Hallelujah. My feet are cooking right now. You know, when God is just grasping hold, it's almost like there's nothing there and his hand goes out and grabs something to make. You know, he makes things out of nothing, doesn't he? We were nothing and he made something of us, didn't he? Amen. You know, you think about that. You know, hey, God doesn't, some people are so concerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Some people are so concerned about, I don't want to say fame, but being recognized. You know, they're concerned about pride. And in this arena, you're going to be recognized. And you'll always have to beat down pride. Do you understand that? You'll always have to beat down pride. The moment you allow pride in, you get pushed out of that rank. Amen? Out of that dimension. And the enemy, you know, that neon light bulb comes on and says, hi, you're the moving target. And some of the things that God is doing right now, we must be careful of pride. Do you understand? Spiritual competition. Things to this degree. We are not in competition with anyone. You know, God has got a specific job and purpose. When the Lord started this ministry, he said this would be Holy Ghost Boot Camp Officers Training School. He said that he would give us meat in a bottle. Amen. And you think about all the goodness that God has done for us and the revelations and impartations of the things of the Spirit is phenomenal. And the reason why these things are happening, you know, it isn't about multitudes. It only took 12 men to go out and touch the world, didn't it? You know, it's not about numbers. Remember what he did with Gideon's army. He wiped out, 20-something thousand or 20, you know. I mean, think about that. And only 300 of them went and kicked butt because they're obedient. And they knew how to stay in that realm and stay alert and focused and trusted God. So we must be careful not to have a relationship with just knowledge. We must have that relationship with the King. Amen. It is so important. Knowledge, of course, we know is truth. It's supposed to representation. It's supposed to represent truth, isn't it? But knowledge that's not understood is not truth. So as you're reading your word, you must associate with the Spirit of truth. Amen. That's why there's many people bound by the letter. Hello. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, is everybody there? Good. I'll be right there. Hallelujah. There is excitement in my spirit. Okay. And in verse 6, is everybody there? 2:6. I'll get there. Are you there, guy? Yeah, I'm there now. Okay. Would you read it with me? However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are what? Coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. Those are things that are hidden. Does everybody get it? These are things that are hidden. Okay? The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for who? Our glory. Now let me share this with you. It is for your glory. God wants to glorify you. so that people will see his glory in you and on you. Not to promote you, not to exalt you, but to exalt him. Amen? Okay. I want us to read this again because I want you to understand what's happening in this realm of the preparation and return of the Lord. Because I'm telling you, something's going to happen soon. And it's not just about the return of the Lord. Something is going to happen soon where the world is going to be looking for you. Oh, hallelujah. Let's read it again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Y'all get that? Okay. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now listen, there are those who love God who still don't know who they are, what's prepared. Do you understand this? He's saying, listen, man, there's still people that love me that really don't know me. They love who they don't know. Do you understand? I mean, and that's, I'm not saying that's wrong. That's faith, isn't it? Amen. But the thing is, he said, they're not getting what I've prepared for them. How many of y'all know that there's a lot of believers out there that God wants them in another place than where they're at? You know why? Because they're not getting it. And he's going to tell you why right now. Now, go to verse, the next one, 10. Is everybody there? Good. Read it with me. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I want to explain something to you. If the Bible even tells us that all the things that Jesus did could not be contained in this book. Amen? So there are deep things of God that are not written. Now, the religious individuals will say, well, if the word don't say it, I don't get it. No, because you don't know how to get into the deeper things of God. Does everybody get this? Okay, now. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the what? Spirit of a man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the what? The Spirit of God. Wow. So he wants to take us into the deeper things of God. How many of y'all want to go into deeper things of God? Well, see, that's what's happening right now. That's what's been going on for the last few weeks. He's bringing us into a deeper realm. Amen? Hidden mysteries, or what we know as revelations, not yet written about. They're not yet written about. Does everybody get it? Hello? But revealed by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. These are things of preparation by God to those who love him. Many who love him don't even have the revelation of the deep things of God. They're not getting it. They're not getting the things that are prepared. Why? Because they are bound by the letter. Now, I'm going to explain a couple of things to you in a minute. First, go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. See, what they do is they read the word without the Spirit of truth. So they can only justify by what they read. They have more of a relationship with what is written, which is called logos, instead of who wrote it. Now, and I'm sharing this with you because the things that God has been revealing to us are the deep things of God. They're beyond the things that, remember, a mystery is something that hasn't been written yet. Does everybody get it? A mystery is something that's not been written yet. Far be it that we should keep our Father, our King, our Lord, and our Master, our Creator, in between two book covers. My daddy's a lot more than this. Hello. Now, some people say, man, that's heresy. You're a cult. No, I live in a cul-de-sac, but that's about it. Second Corinthians 3, verse 4. Would you read this with me? For we have such trust through Christ towards God. What's Christ mean? Anointing. Amen. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the what? New covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Whoa. The Spirit gives what? Life. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Oh, praise. Now, the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Listen, Paul's letters, which are known as epistles, right? They were written to fellowships in Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, and all parts of Asia. Some things that we don't even have. Now, Paul was writing letters to the fellowships, what we call churches now. Amen? And we have found these letters, and we put them in a book. They justified them, they verified them, they exercised them, they did everything and found that these letters were true. But prior to that, Paul didn't have a Bible. Dear goodness. How did he write these things? Now, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Did you know that the book is continually written? Did you know that every single one of you is written in the book already in your own chapter? It's not done. He's still writing it. That's what's called the book of life. It's called the book of remembrance. Does everybody get it? It's still being written. Everything you're doing right now is being written. We're probably on chapter 4,522. I'd like to see you carry that book around. Paul didn't have a Bible. He knew the Torah, didn't he? But he knew the Torah when he was Saul, wasn't he? But he didn't know the New Testament. You know, even, I don't want to cause a problem, but sometimes we just got to. The Gospels are the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There had to be a bridge in between. Does everybody understand that? See, the New Testament could not begin until Jesus came to fulfill the old one. Once he fulfilled it, the new one began. And it started with the day of Pentecost because things start with a feast. Has everybody got it? See, so even when I read the Gospels, I'm not looking at the New Testament. I do not look at the Gospels as the New Testament. I look at the Gospels as the bridge between the old and the beginning of the new. Why? Because Jesus came as the mediator. He came to bridge it, didn't he? He came to fulfill things, didn't he? So reading about the fulfillment in a bridge and the severance and the unity between the old and the beginning of the new. Does everybody understand that? Okay, praise God. Now, I never recall. Now, when Paul met the Spirit of Christ, things happened. Amen? But in the meantime, he thought he was doing the right thing, didn't he? I don't recall the Lord telling Paul to write anything. You know, I haven't really read anything in the Bible that says, the Lord told me to write this. In fact, the only area where I really see some of it is in the book of Revelation when the angel appeared to John and said, write this down. Amen? Now, does everybody understand that? So Paul actually was writing letters to the churches. What was he doing? He was writing counsel, correction, and direction, and he was writing things about revelation that he got from the Spirit of God because of his relationship with the Lord. Does everybody get this? So I'm sharing this thing to release you from any bondage of letter. So why? So you can get into another place with your Heavenly Father, with the walk of the Spirit of Christ, and to get more revelation. See, we've really got to let God out of the box. Why? To go deeper. And the Spirit of God wants to bring us deeper. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So, now listen. So the Spirit is still writing, isn't he? Amen? Paul wrote... Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to share this with you. The Bible does not tell, people are bound by the letter. The Bible doesn't tell you what kind of car to buy. Well, maybe you'll buy a Fury. It says the Lord came with his what? Fury. So we're not going to go out and buy a Fury, are we? Amen? Hello? The Bible doesn't tell you who to marry. What's their name? Unless you're going to play Bible roulette and marry the wrong person. The Bible doesn't tell me how many days I should go out and work out at the gym. In fact, the Bible says, Paul said, exercise profits little. But it's amazing how we want to work out and get exercise because we want to be healthy. Well, where do you think that came from? God. Amen. Did you ever go grab something neat and the Lord said, you know that ain't good for you? You go, ooh. And then you use that scripture, well, I can eat all things now. I just have to bless it. And people try to cast out the calories, but it don't work. Hello. Let me tell you. God ain't gonna, you know, when you step out of the stuff, that's why the relationship is so important. The Bible is not gonna tell you these things, is it? That's why you must have revelation and you must have relationship. Hello? Now, I'm not saying God can't use the Bible to express certain things to you, can he? I mean, man, without the Bible, praise God. But what would you do if you didn't have one? You know, if the Lord took all the Bibles away from all of his children, we'd have a relationship. Does everybody get that? Instead of running to the Bible, they'd be going to him all the time. And that's what he wants. Do you understand that? That's what he wants. Why? Because he wants to bring you into the deeper things of him. You know, one of the things that's really wild is, you know, people talk about the Sabbath. They argue about the Sabbath because the Old Testament says, you got to go to church on Saturday or you're going to hell. Whoa, well then they're under the letter, aren't they? Amen, they're under bondage. Well, see, when you know the Lord of the Sabbath is every day. Why? Because it's not a day you're resting and trusting in the Lord. That's what the Sabbath represents. The rest, in other words, in the Old Testament, they didn't get all baptized in the Holy Ghost. They weren't the temple of God. Now you're the temple of God, so you got Sabbath all the time. Amen? Where do they go on the Sabbath? To the temple. Well, you don't have to go to the temple. You are the temple. So you got Sabbath all the time. Why? Why did they have the Sabbath? So that they would acknowledge God one day a week. Now you acknowledge him every morning. Amen? Now you acknowledge, you surrender to him every day. Why? Because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's not a one-day event. It's a life event. Oh, hallelujah. Hosea chapter 4. In verse 6, and I think you might know this by now. He says what? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, which knowledge understood is truth, isn't it? Now is not understood is a lie. There's no in between. Because truth sets you free, a lie doesn't. It just brings you in bondage. That's why people who are bound by the letter who do not understand the letter, does everybody understand this? They come in bondage and they actually live under their own law. And they can't get into deeper things of God. Now, he says, and because you've rejected knowledge, hello? Now, the knowledge that he's talking about is revelation knowledge. Come on. I also reject you for being what? Priest for me. Why? What does a priest do? He ministers to the Lord and he seeks. He inquires of the deep things of God for not only himself, but for others. Do you understand that? Because individuals are bound by the letter, they cannot inquire. They write a letter to Santa Claus and hope they get an answer. Then they do Bible roulette. Let's see. Open the Bible. Okay, this is it. Oh, let's see. Now we're supposed to fast. And they can't last the day because God didn't tell them. Hallelujah. And because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your what? Children. Wow. I've seen people bound by the letter that are abusers of their wives, abusers to their children. They're abusers. They can speak the word, tell you the page number, but they got no fruit. There's no fruit of the Spirit. There's fruit of the letter. They're prideful and fearful. They are suspicious. They can't trust. And they have a hard time expressing love. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. They are destroyed for lack of spiritual knowledge. Like accursed items. They don't even know what one is. They never cast the devil out. They're afraid to even mention his name. They don't know anything about inherited spirits or curses or soul ties, etc. Why? Because they're so bound by the letter because they can't interpret it. But it's actually in there, isn't it? It's actually in there. Amen? Go to John 2. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying this to making somebody better than another person. Do you understand that? This has got nothing with somebody better than another. We're all joined and united by the blood of Christ and the price of Jesus. Amen? Regardless of what? I'm not sharing any of this to say that we are better or anyone who is better or less. Everybody has a job and a function to do. Amen? But I know that God said, I've come to bring life and life more abundantly. It grieves my spirit when believers do not have that abundant life. I'm talking about not materialism, finances. I'm talking about that abundant life with Mr. Life Abundant. Amen? That's abundant life. Remember, we talked about the greatest blessing that you can receive is to know that you pleased him. Man, when you know you please the man, you're blessed. It don't matter. I please him. Yeah. I don't care how much money he's going to kick that money away. Kick that car away. I'll pick it up later. Yeah. But for now, praise God, I'm blessed. Thank you for pleasing you. Okay. Now, where are we going with it? What do you want to do? Who do you want me to bless? Who do you want me to give it to? See, it's not about self. It's about how am I going to expand his kingdom. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In John chapter 2 and verse 13. Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, doves, and the money changers. Doing business, of course, in the temple. And what did he do? Man, he made a whip. He wasn't taking no stuff, man. He made a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers and overturned the tables. That's a king. And he said to those who sold dove, take these things away and do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it's taken us 46 years to build this thing, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. On the what day? Third day. The reason why the Lord is pouring out these revelations is because we are in the third day. We are in the third day. Now, if you'll turn with me to Hosea 6. Hosea 6. Begins with an H. Hallelujah. Everybody say, we are in the third day. Oh, glory, we are in the third day. The third day, Hosea 6. Now, you may be saying, what do you mean by the third day? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Hosea chapter 6. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? First three verses. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will rise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know and let us pursue the what? Knowledge or what? Revelation knowledge of the Lord. He is going forth. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Now, he's talking about the third day. Now, listen. Jesus wrote on the third day, right? On that third day, things changed. Amen? Things changed from that point on. The Spirit was being poured out, wasn't it? Okay. If you look at it, here we are in the book of Matthew. It talks about Jesus' transfiguration. He says, and I'm not going to get into all of this here tonight, but you can read up the rapture. And it talks about after 6 days, right, Jesus took his disciples up. And what did he do? He transfigured before them. Well, the Bible says one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. So from the time of man's creation, hello, we have, does everybody get this? We have now entered the 6,000th year. So that's a representation of the third day. Why? Because on that millennium that we are entering, in fact, we're already in it, the rapture, the removal of the church, but before that, there will be the pouring out, there will be the latter rain and the former rain being poured out. So we are in the third day. That's why we've talked about third dimensional. Has everybody got it? Now, oh, hallelujah. We are third generational warriors. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Third generational, third dimensional warriors. And it says, pursuers of the revelation of the knowledge, preparing, now listen, for the pouring out of the latter and former rain of the third dimensional warriors, where the Lord is establishing the ministry of kings. He has placed the king's heart in us, but it must come to maturity. In other words, we must learn how to cooperate with the king's heart. You know what a king does? He possesses and reigns. Does it not say that we will what? Reign with Christ. Does everybody understand that? We will what? Reign with Christ. Go to Jeremiah 50. We are entering, he is preparing us for the as a ministry of kings. Jeremiah, glory to God, 50. Oh, praise God. Is everybody there? Read verse 4. I think it's around there somewhere. 54, Jeremiah 54. Yeah. 50, verse 4. Glory to God. Jeremiah 50, verse 4. Sure hope I'm in the right place. Would you read it with me? In those days, in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping, they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. Wow. That will not be what? Forgotten. Praise God. Now listen. He is raising up a ministry of kings. Do you understand that? Now, when I say kings, I mean kings and queens. All right? We're not going there again. Right? The purpose of this is to influence and bless others. Many kings in there are many kings in their field, but I'm talking about spiritual kings. Amen? People have mastered certain things. There are doctors and so forth. You know, they've mastered things. In one aspect, you might consider them like a carnal king, you know? But really, they're not spiritual kings, are they? So there are spiritual kings that God is raising up. In the Old Testament, there were good kings, and there were what? Bad kings, weren't there? Amen? Now, would you go to Acts 9, please? Hallelujah. Oh, I see. Acts 9. All glory. Is everybody there? Verse 10. Did you read it with me? Now, this is after Saul was on the road to Damascus and had an encounter with the Lord. Okay? And now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Thank God he didn't pull a Bible and try and find out whether this was true or not. Hold on, I want to see if this is real. Can you imagine Mary, the angel of the Lord appearing before her, saying, you've been chosen to give birth to the King of Glory. Hold on a second. Let me look this up. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Of course, he's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a what? Chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Yow. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you have come, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? My goodness, he didn't get baptized in water. What are we going to do? Uh-oh. See, they were out of line because they didn't know the scripture, did they? Oh, man! It had nothing to do with the scripture. God's going to do what he wants to do. So he sent Ananias in there. Ananias laid his hands on Brother Saul, who became Paul. Paul got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to pray in tongues. And he received his spiritual sight.
Has everybody got it? Hallelujah.
I am happy and glad Ananias wasn't bound by the letter. Because you know why? Brother Saul, whenever he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand something. It says that God chose Saul, didn't he? He said, to bear my name, and I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer. Now, suffering isn't about being always being beaten up. It's, you know, it's about being rejected, mocked, things of that degree for what you believe in. Amen? This was training. God was saying, okay, Saul, I'm going to train you to become a king. I want you to know that training of the kingly ministry is extensive and intense. The purpose is to handle the kingly anointing and hold the office without wavering. There is the anointing that is caught, and there is the anointing that builds. I know we haven't gotten in a lot of this stuff, but we're about to. There is an anointing that is caught, and there is an anointing that builds. Now, there are three types of anointings, and then there are characters of anointing, and you can read that in Isaiah, where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and so forth, spirit of might. Those are all associated with anointings, isn't it? Amen? And there were seven anointings right there. But I'm talking about the three major anointings that God utilizes is the anointing for salvation, where he draws you. There's the anointing of priesthood. And then there's the anointing of the king. Now, priest ministers, doesn't he? Amen? So there's the anointing of ministry. There's the anointing of salvation. And there's the anointing of the king. And the king's anointing builds. Okay? It builds. Now, is everybody okay? Praise God. Would you go to Matthew 16? So God chose Saul. He said, man, I'm putting you through some training. Now you got to remember, Saul really didn't fit in his position for 14 years. Who beat Paul, Brother Paul. Amen? But it took him 14 years, really, to get back and to really fall into his position in his office. In Matthew 16.
Praise God.
Is everybody okay? In Matthew 16 and verse 13. I think. Now we'll go to verse 15.
Hallelujah.
Now we'll go to verse 13 while we're there. Did you bring your Holy Ghost eraser? Good, you're learning. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, I don't know, whatever they read about. Hello? Whatever they what? They read about.
You don't think there were things written about him? I'm telling you there were things written about him then.
People are writing stuff and passing them out. Wanted.
Wanted dead or alive. there was things written about them. I mean, they were mocking them. They were doing all kinds of things. Some of them were writing things that were good, but most of the people were writing things that were bad. Amen. So Jesus said, well, in other words, who do they say that I am? And so they said, well, some say that John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, okay, but who do you say that I am? See, because he had a relationship with them. Are you going to go by what they say, or are you going to go by the revelation between me and you? Are you going to go by what you read, or are you going to go by the revelation between me and you? Are you hearing me? And Simon Peter said, and answered and said, you are the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you. Why did he say blessed? Did he please him? Yes. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Man, Peter got revelation. He heard from God. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock or on this revelation, that I am the anointed one in anointing, which is representation of the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Christ, the power of Christ. I will build my church in the gates of hell, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wow. What was he talking about? I'm going to build my church. He said, listen, I'm giving you the kingly anointing, but you're going to have to go through training. On my church, I'm going to build my church upon the anointing, not upon the letter. It's upon the anointing. What is the first thing Jesus preached? He went into the synagogue, and the first words out of his mouth, that when he got the, on that day, when he got the book, the Torah, it said, in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What was he preaching about? The Spirit. To do what? To set the captives free, to open the blind, that they may see, to heal the brokenhearted. What was he talking about? The anointing. Why? Because they had enough letter, wasn't doing those things. Why? Because there's now a presence instead of something written. Does everybody understand that? It was something, a presence, not something written. Oh, praise God. He's saying, listen, and I'm going to build my church on the anointing. And I'm going to give you the kingly anointing, but I'm going to train you. Now, the kingly anointing is to rule, to reign, to govern, to drive out the enemies of darkness. I'll say that again. To rule, to reign, to govern, to drive out the enemies of darkness. To take territories. Rescue lives. Train others to inherit or catch that anointing. Why? Because that anointing builds. What did he say? I'm going to what? Build my church. What anointing was he talking about? The kingly anointing. I'm going to what? Build my church. The kingly anointing builds. The priestly anointing ministers. See, there's a lot of ministry, but there's not enough building. And I'm not talking about building buildings. I'm talking about building characters, building kings, training and preparing that they go out in the anointing of a king, take territories. Man, there are many believers you can go talk to and say, man, how long have you been a believer? 20 years, praise God. And they never cast out a devil, especially out of themselves. They don't even know what deliverance is. Well, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've been delivered. Oh, no, you haven't. Not that it can't happen. I would never limit my dad. Because I know the day I accepted him, he delivered, healed me instantly. Bam, I was done and over with. Praise God. I'm telling you, Holy Ghost microwave. I heard a ding. All right, hallelujah, I came out. And then there was training, suffering, persecution, rejection, betrayal, and all those things train. But all things work to the good to those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. See, so that's where everything you're going through is a part of your training. If you're in this room, you've been called. Do you understand that? Never let this leave you. You've been called to walk in the kingly anointing. Why? Because when things begin to happen,
Many are going to scatter, but you're going to lead. You're going to lead. You're going to lead people out of darkness. You're going to lead people out of religion. You're going to lead people out of bondage. You're going to lead people out of fear. And you're going to lead people out of trouble. Because you'll know how to strategize. You'll know how to set things up. You're not looking for a plan. A plan will come to you. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the kingly anointing rules, reigns, governs, drives out the enemies of darkness, takes territories, rescues lives, trains others to inherit or catch their anointing, sets strategies, and the pace of movement to keep up with the move of the Spirit. Do you understand that? They set the pace, they set strategies and the pace of movement to keep up with the Spirit. And they are multitask. That's the kingly anointing. We're going to talk more about that later, but not tonight. Set strategies and the pace of movement to keep up with the move of the Spirit. And they are multitask. Has everybody got it? In Matthew 25. Uchawawa. Glory! Matthew 25. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The ministry of kings. Glory. In verse 14. Thank you, Master. Aren't you glad you're in Holy Ghost Boot Camp Officers Training School? Verse 14, would you read it with me? For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. In other words, his calling. Amen? And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them with them and made another 5. And the other one he had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long period of time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he had received the 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. And look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And he said, and the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you what? Ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Wow. And he also had received 2 talents and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides these. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, you cannot look at others' calling. Hello? In your training, you have specific calling. God has specifically have a specific calling for you for your training. Why? To get to the place of anointing of a king. You must be faithful. I mean faithful. Trustworthy. In Boy Scouts, there's a saying of, anybody ever been a Boy Scout? How about a Girl Scout? Do you remember the thing? Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. It's amazing I still remember that. They used to pay me. No. I remember dues were 10 cents. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he's saying you must be what? Faithful. To what? Rule. If you're not faithful, you won't rule. What's the rule associated with the kingly anointing? Everybody got it? Oh, but the one that wasn't faithful, what did he do?
And he said, I was afraid, in verse 25, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Oh, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would receive back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to somebody else. The one who's got 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. See, one of the things you cannot do is become lazy. Let me explain something. King David. It was a time when all kings went out to war. And King David became lazy. And all the kings were out. And David said, now I'm going to hang in. And he hung in, went out on his balcony, and there was Bathsheba. When he was supposed to be out warring, hello? Let me tell you, if the devil can convince you, when you begin to slack off, get lazy, begin to compromise, the powers of darkness have got a plan to cause you to be removed from your position. Now, that moment that King David, now King David was a tremendous king. But in that moment, he slipped. He got lazy, fell into fornication, had his right-hand man killed, brought a curse on his family line, lost the child, and all of his sons fell into fornication from that point on. Does everybody understand that? You cannot become lazy. You must be faithful. Does everybody understand? You must be what? Faithful. You must be faithful, submissive, and serving to catch the kingly anointing. Why? Because once you catch the kingly anointing, it begins to build. Does everybody understand that? It begins to build. Now, the anointing, you catch the anointing by serving under a kingly ministry. Whatever ministry you're serving under, whatever office you're serving under, let me share this with you. If you're under an office that there's fornication, you'll be a fornicator. If you're under an office that is bound by the letter, and their leader is bound by the letter, you're going to be bound by the letter too. And the scales will still be on the ice because only the anointing removes the scales. Does everybody understand that? That's why the Lord had a blind Saul for 3 days. He couldn't look at anything. He couldn't read the letters that he carried with him to approve that he was been approved by the Sanhedrin to go out and kill and all those of the faith, all those of the way. He couldn't read anything. God separated him for 3 days. How many days? Third day ministry. Hello? Does everybody get it? And what happened to Saul? He became Paul, and God began to train him to receive the kingly anointing. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is where armor bearers and intercessors are so important. Because all those who are serving, all those who serve the kings, you look at the Old Testament, all those around him, they used to gather around the round table and stuff, you know. Remember King Arthur and all those? And all those that served him were faithful. They were faithful. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to inherit what the king had. Amen? They wanted to inherit it. See, God raises up. When the Lord visited me and delivered me and healed me and so forth, he put me in a ministry. There was healing, deliverance, and so forth. Miracles, signs, and wonders. I served in that ministry. And I began to inherit what God gave that king. Does everybody understand that? See, you do not get anything unless you serve under it. And you can't just go to a place and get hands laid on, hi, I got it. No, you don't work that way. Yes, I received the anointing from such and such. Yeah, when? The other night I went. Have you gone since? No, I've been there 3 years ago. You didn't receive it.
You got blessed, but you didn't. You can't walk in that anointing. Why? The only way you can walk in that anointing is to serve under it. To serve under it. Does everybody understand that? Joshua served under Moses. Look at Peter served under Paul. Does everybody understand that? All of these men, even though some of them were before Paul, they ended up serving under Paul. Hello? Oh, praise God. All of the 12 disciples, hello? Where did they serve under? Jesus. Amen. You know, serving is so important. That's how you receive. Because what are you doing? You're making an exchange. Amen? You're making an exchange. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. You know, I said Peter served under Paul. No, Timothy served under Paul. Excuse me. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. And 1 Samuel 13. Oh, praise God. 1 Samuel 13. Somebody there? First Samuel 13. Glory to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14, I believe. Would you read it with me? But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his what? Now Samuel is telling Saul, your kingdom ain't going to continue. God has sought a man after his what? His own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Then Samuel rose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people present with him, about 600 men. So the Lord told Saul, listen, God has found himself another king. Why? He's found himself somebody who's what? After his own heart. That's one of the qualifications. You must be a man or woman after the heart of God. Why? Because you want to exchange that kingly heart, don't you? You live to please him. Amen? You live to please him. A man after the heart of God. And as he exchanged the carnal heart for a king's heart. Go to 1 Kings 4. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? 3rd day ministry of kings. And remember, it's kings and queens. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. Amen. Now listen. Wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart. What was he there? Solomon learned to give of himself to his people. Give of himself to his people. Amen. He received a larger heart. By receiving a larger heart, you're able to handle more of the capacity of God. You're able to handle more and receive more of the things of God. That's why you should ask the Lord, Lord, please enlarge in my heart. Allow the King's heart in me to be larger. Why? So I can handle the capacity of the things that you have. In this, with a larger heart, individuals have big visions. They see things big. They don't look at little things. They see big things. Amen? Go to Proverbs 25. Praise God. Proverbs 25. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Ministry of Kings. Yes. Is everybody there? Proverbs 25. In verse 2 and 3. Can we read this together, please? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Now listen, that's where the anointing and the kingly office is. As a king, it's our responsibility to search out the matters of God. Does everybody understand that? It's our responsibility to search out the matters of God. Now go to verse 3. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is what? Unsearchable. It's unsearchable. In other words, the depths are, you can't measure the depths of the king's heart. It's unsearchable. There is no end to it. It continues. And it's our responsibility to search out the matter. In other words, to get revelation. Now, with the anointing, the kingly anointing in the office, you get revelation because the heart is bigger, able to handle the capacity. Are you hearing me? You get revelation of much in a short time. In a short time. It doesn't take you a long time to search out this matter. It comes quickly. It comes quickly. You get revelation in a short time of the things. And what's the revelation for? The things to come. Amen? And how to prepare for what is coming. Those are strategies. Does everybody get this? See, that's why the problem is people really are not searching out the matters. They're really not searching it out. They're just relying on, okay, well, you know, I use the phrase, God's got a plan. And he does. I may not know it now, but I will. Does everybody understand that? As I continue to search out the matter, God eventually will tell me what I'm supposed to do. Now, there's times when he'll tell me what to do that day. And there's times when it doesn't matter yet. Because sometimes we have a tendency to move ahead when we find out what we're supposed to do. That's why we must understand that it's God's time to reveal to you as long as you keep searching out the matter. One of the things is because people sometimes are so bound by the letter that something can come right in front of them and they can't get it. Hello? Something can come right in front of them. But you know, God works in a simplicity way. Sometimes it's right in front of us and we're still trying to search out the matter. If you ever feel a kick or something or a budge, you know, a little elbow, it's the Holy Ghost saying, look at it, it's right in front of you. What are you looking for? You know, we get people to call us. Yeah, man, I'm looking for help. Hello? Hey, willing to do whatever it takes? Yeah. Yeah, I really need a place to stay. Huh. Oh, you need a shelter. Well, yeah, when can I work? When you find a job. And it won't be from here. Hello? Why? Because they've revealed what their heart is. Their heart has only looked for a place to stay. Amen. And to fulfill what they're going to do. They're not willing to do whatever it takes. See, some people come into the discipleship program in due time. They're still counting the days. Let's see, I can do this. Like, yes, all right, yes, 3 months, 2 days, and 15 seconds left. Then I can go home and do the same thing over. Hello? That's carnality, and that's bondage. I mean, people might as well go to prison and wait to go get out. Amen? Individuals that count days are in trouble. It's got nothing to do with days. Are you with me? It's about relationship. Searching out the matters. Getting the revelations. Hello? This girl that's leaving today doesn't even want to go home. Hello? But she's got a job to do. Amen? But she's part of family now. And also stayed on. It's because they have a desire for the kingly anointing. They want the kingly anointing. They're willing to do whatever it takes to receive the anointing so they can build and build and build and build and take land and territory and build and take souls from the hands of the devil and build them into kings. Does everybody get this? Oh, hallelujah. All right, one more scripture and we'll close. And we'll have to continue. In Psalm 18. Praise you, Lord. I'll never forget one day I was ministering in a jail. And I told everybody to put their Bibles away. Whoa, you want to see a bunch of religious spirits get activated? People tell me, I sleep with my word. That's too bad. I'd rather sleep with Jesus. And of course, they go through the revolving door. I see them back all the time. And they can quote the page numbers and the scriptures. Ooh, they can quote the word up and down. But they're bound by the letter. No freedom. They cannot exist without the Bible. You know why? Because they don't have a relationship. In other words, you've got to be able, all of the word was taken away from you. All the written word was taken away from you. The only thing that you can do is rely on your relationship with him. Do you understand that? That's where God wants you to be. And I'm not telling everybody to throw out their Bibles, okay? So please, that's all we need. Hallelujah. We'll have the occult squad here. And we'd have to cast the devils out of them then. They didn't know that they were the occult. In Psalm 18. In verse 37. And David writes, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. That's a king. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For what? For you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save. Even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt into the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come. Frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Why? Because they were taken territories. The Bible says, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And there is a time for everything, isn't there? There is a time for battle. There is a time to attack. I am a believer of a first strike. If you ain't if you're not striking first, you're going to be struck. So why wait till you're struck, and then you have to be busy healing your wounds and your rejections and your woes as Mises, when you could be beating up on a devil, amen, and rescuing somebody. God, in this third dimensional position, in the third day war, is raising up the ministry of kings. We must be willing to do whatever it takes to grab hold, to get understanding, and to surrender, and be willing to be trained. Welcome to the house of death. And to God be all the glory. And everybody said, amen.